We welcome all those who are visiting us this morning and have been here earlier or have just arrived. We thank you for being with us, for joining us, as we truly are pleased to have you amongst us in our audience. We ask that if you have any questions or are there anything that you would like to know, please don't go home with it. We would like to engage in a Bible study with you, and we would be honored to open our Bibles together so that we can allow our God's Word to be the one to provide the answers. If you will, please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 through 15. Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 15. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eye, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually and sows discord. Therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, our King and our Lord, we kneel and we bow before Thee, before Thy divine presence, with gratitude in our hearts and a grateful heart, but also, Father, with reverence and love, rejoicing, Lord, because truly we know and we are persuaded, and that Thou art our God, and Thy Son's blood has cleansed us from all sin. But, Father, we know that amongst us are those who have yet to be cleansed. There are those who have yet to accept Thy Son's gospel. Father, we ask that You be with them, that their listening ear, Father, may pay close attention, that it may be attentive, Father, so that we, Father, together may be able to continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of Thy Son. Lord, as we seek to understand and try to identify that poisonous fruit of the sower of discord, please allow us, Father, to always be ready. Allow us to always, Father, be prepared to be able to defend our godly homes against those cunning foxes, so that we, Father, may always protect that godliness, Father, that Thou have graciously given to us. Forgive us when we have sinned, forgive us when we have failed Thee. For we pray this in the precious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 37:34 teaches us that the wicked man is always watching the righteous so that he can see how to slay him. We have been discussing about threats and challenges to the godly home. And without a doubt, when a home is godly, when a home is holy and pious before God, and it is blessed by God because it is united by that strong bond that is found in Christ, it will create envy amongst the unrighteous. It will create jealousy amongst those whose home is not in the same manner, amongst those who perhaps are bitter because they were not able to achieve godliness within their home. And like in the book of Nehemiah, we will find that always there are those who want to destroy and not allow to be constructed. In Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 15, we see the description of this wicked man. We see the description of that sower of discord. And you see, we call him a sower of discord because, as you see there in verse 14, he has those seeds of discord, which we will talk about tonight. But this morning we're speaking about the outside, the exterior threat coming in. We have many names for these types of people. We spoke about them in our Bible class. We saw on the Song of Songs they are referred to as foxes. We observe how Jesus referred to Herod as a cunning fox. And we see how the Lord in Ezekiel chapter 13 also referred to false prophets as foxes. But we see, brethren, also that in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 and forward, we are taught that we are not to believe every spirit, but that we are to try the spirits, that we are to test them to see if indeed they are of God. Well, brethren, when it comes to our home, we must not forget that we have to defend it. We have to protect the godliness within our home. And as we said, there are those who are known as home wreckers, those who are known as busybodies, those who are known as meddlers, and so on and so forth. Three examples of people who are discontent with their own situation. Three examples of people who only thrive off of making people miserable because they themselves are miserable. And they cannot accept the fact that someone was able to get the formula right and thus was able to create a godly home. Notice, brethren, how when identifying the poisonous fruit of these deceivers, the first thing we are told about in verse 12 is that they are worthless. You see, brethren, this word worthless is actually the Hebrew word named or known as Belial. And if you recall, Belial is that being who is mentioned over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, which we will be getting to in a few minutes. But observe that when we take the composition of this Hebrew word and we separate it, Bli means without, and Yaal means prophet, or Ol means yoke. Thus, this means that someone who is worthless, according to the definition of this proverb, is someone who is either without profit or someone without a law or a yoke. It is both a person who is lawless or it is a person who is worthless. Thus, when we speak about this, it means that it is someone who never contributes but is always seeking to destroy. Once again, we talk about Nehemiah. Nehemiah saw this in the example of Tobias and in the example of Sanballat. If you recall, Sanballat was there before Nehemiah for many decades and the temple walls had never been restored. But the moment that Israel begins to work on them, the moment that the Jews begin to construct them, he starts trying to obstruct. He starts criticizing. He starts sending letters trying to start rumors. And he does whatever he can to cease the work from continuing. No specific reason is ever given. We're never told what was really the problem that Sanballat had, other than the fact that he was jealous. Other than the fact that he did not want to see the Jews thriving again. The only reason he had was simply because he wanted to see his enemies always defeated. Thus he tried with every deceivement that he could, he tried with every vice within his power to cease the labor from continuing. He tried to break that home apart. Now we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Notice, and what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Observe how Belial is here referenced. Thus showing us the worthlessness or without value that we have when we engage with these people. When we associate with them, we will find no value in that relationship. Because all they want to do is sow discord. All they want to do is wink with their eye and seduce with their lips. Because they are not happy and they're bitter, they want to embitter us as well. But notice that God here, and it is being quoted from the Old Testament, by the way, we see the Apostle Paul telling the Corinthians that we have to still follow that same mandate, and we have to separate ourselves from them. Well, this is the same and is true with our family. When that person is a homewrecker, that person is someone who is bringing problems between the husband and their wife in their marriage. Because they are always meddling and are always trying to bring in some kind of discord to get them to fight. Or perhaps it is a cousin or a nephew, like it was in the home of David, who gives the wrong counsel to the Ammon who wants to abuse of Tamar. Their only purpose is to destroy. And thus the Bible tells us, do not associate with them. Separate them. As we saw in Song of Song 2, cast. the little foxes before they destroy everything you've worked for. You see, brethren, when we read here how Christ is compared with Belial, the idea is this: with Christ we gain everything. With Belial we gain nothing and lose everything. Because someone who is without a law, someone who is without purpose or value, they only seek to take and never give back. There are people in the world, unfortunately, who just want to see the world burn. Well, those same kind of people, there are similar ones who just want to see homes broken. Homes that will not thrive. Homes that will not survive. And many times they don't even have a motive why. They just thrive on it. They just enjoy it. For them, it's something that becomes somewhat of their own mission, somewhat of their own purpose. When we go back to Proverbs 6, brethren, observe how this wicked man, how this sower of discord is described. It says that he walks with a froward mouth, if you have the old King James Version. But in the new King James Version, which we are reading from, it says that he walks with a perverse mouth. Well, this is referring to that you cannot believe a thing they say. Anything and everything they say, you have to question it. They do not walk with an honest mouth. Remember, their only intent is to strive, to begin strife amongst you. The question may seem legitimate, the question may seem like a good one, but notice that they'll wait the right moment and at the right time to ask a good question to cause and provoke a bad thing. They use truth deceitfully. Do you recall how in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says that they did not follow cunningly devised fables? How they did not use the word of truth deceitfully? And by the way, the cunningly devised fables was Peter, not Paul. But Paul is the one who says about not using the word of truth deceitfully. Think about that, brethren. The word of truth, the Bible, God's inspired word, it can be used deceitfully. Thus, this means then that truth and gossip can go hand in hand. But many times we make the mistake of thinking that gossip is always a lie. But the most poisonous and toxic forms of gossip are those laced with truth. Truth that is used improperly. And truth that is used with the purpose of blowing a home up. Well, that's what this wicked sower of discord does. He walks with a perverse mouth, says the New King James Version. What he speaks will always bring forth strife. What he speaks, no matter how he speaks it, is always deceitful. Of course, we have to remember what 2 Corinthians chapter 11 teaches us when it refers to us that the ministers of Satan, those who dress themselves as ministers of righteousness, well, Paul says, and I am not surprised, we should not be surprised, for the devil transforms himself into an angel of light. How many times, brethren, these people transform themselves into angels of light? They make themselves pass off as ministers of righteousness, when in reality it's all just an act. Observe very closely how he winks with his eyes, he shuffles his feet, he points with his fingers. Pay close attention to the details given to us by the Bible. That means that he uses his eyes, he uses his feet, and he uses his hands. It's not just an act or a strategy, it's a way of life, is what that passage is saying. Their very being to the core. If you notice the following verse, it says that perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. For them, it's a way of life. It's now their habit and it's now their style of living. They use everything. They have trained their bodies. They have trained their very being to the core that they can deceive fully to the point that they are very difficult to spot. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. to have an example of what the proverb is speaking of. Notice here in Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 13. Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 13. Observe what the master said of these types of sowers of discord. Chapter 23, beginning of verse 13. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. What worth did this hypocrite that Christ is pointing to bring to the person's life they encountered? How did they win? Or how did they help the people that they engaged with? Notice what Jesus is saying that they were causing through their hypocrisy. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. You've already disqualified yourself. You've lost your entrance. You've lost your heavenly residency and citizenship. So why now are you trying to cause others to remain outside with you? Why does it displease you that others are going to enter where you are not allowed to go in? You devour widows' houses. Notice that usually these sowers of discord know who are the most vulnerable. Remember, it's a style of life for them. That's why they walk with their feet, right? They talk with their feet. What the proverb is saying there is they know who to go to. They speak with their fingers. They know how to convince, how to make a false hug seem warm. They know how to give confidence. They know how to gain a vulnerable person's trust only to take advantage of them. Con artists. But they're not just trying to take treasures. No, they're worse than con artists. They're anarchists. They go in, wreck everything, and then leave. Notice what Christ says there. Verse 15 is the strongest accusation, right? Of the ones that we have read. Their devotion, when you read their devotion, it seems genuine. You travel land and sea to win one proselyte. They were active when it came to evangelism. They were active when it came to creating Gentiles into Judaism. But what was it worth? What value did it bring? Because they were doing it deceitfully. Notice how dangerous, brethren, these people are. And when he is one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. You don't do it better, you make it worse. We jump down to verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a knot and fall and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them then may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanliness. Has anyone ever witnessed an ugly tombstone? But would anyone accept for a loved one an ugly tombstone? They're works of art, to be honest with you. The way they are able to chisel in such fine and elegant letters, the name, the date, whatever little message we want to include. How sometimes they can even have images on them that may be associated or related to that beloved. But how many of us would be willing to go and design our own tombstone? How many of us would like to have an input as to what I would like my tombstone to look like for when I'm dead? No matter how beautiful, how artful, how elegant and sophisticated it may be, it never ceases to be a symbol of death. Christ says that they were whitewashed tombs, or beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, they were full of uncleanliness. You may look and appear as a servant of righteousness. You may look and appear as if your intentions are good, as if the reason you are trying to enter into that people's home is to be an asset or to help, or that the reason you revealed certain information that was privy to only husband and wife was because you thought it was unrighteous or unfair, but all you bring is death. All you bring is turmoil. The purpose is like a tombstone's purpose, to be a reminder of destruction and an end. Powerful accusations by the master, aren't they? You make them twice children of hell because you're nothing more than a tomb who swallows his prey. Their ways are full of deceit. They cannot be trusted. They must not be trusted. Which is why we have to be always aware of our surroundings, brethren. These busybodies, these meddlers, they sow discord just because they want to see a home burn. They don't bring anything to the table, but they take everything off of it. And that's why the proverb warns us against them. That's why the proverb calls them a wicked and perverse man. They are experts of destruction and demolition, but their sole purpose is to destroy. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 10. Psalm 10. Beginning at verse 6. Psalm 10, beginning at verse 6. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws them into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. You know, when I was studying this and I was reading this psalm, the question that just kept bouncing around in my little mind was, what is his strength? Because the Bible is telling me that they have a strength. For them to be able to destroy a kingdom, to destroy a home, to destroy a person's soul, they have a strength. They're strong. But then you have to read again closely because the psalm is describing their strength. They're avid hunters. They are powerful predators. Notice the animals that they are compared to. In verse 7, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. Well, who has a poisonous tongue? Which animal uses its tongue to get its prey? Is it not the asp? Is it not the snake? We keep reading. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. Well, which animal does this? Are they not the jackals? He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. We could have had our whole sermon just on this psalm, couldn't we? But what is a hunter's purpose? Isn't it to kill? For the animals, it's so that they can eat and survive. But did you know that the human is the only animal who hunts for sport? I know this because in Texas we often find deer's heads on people's platters, right? On their walls. There's a difference between hunting to feed and just hunting for sport to show off your marksmanship. Notice how they are described as hunters. They don't just target any godly family, they target the godly family they know they can infiltrate. They target the godly family they know that there's cracks they can enter through. Sowers of discord, brethren, are insidious. They're lethal once they enter the home. Like natural gas, it really has no smell. That smell of rotten eggs that we get from gas has been added to it purposely so that we can be able to identify it. But unless that addition has not been made, we won't even know if natural gas is present. And either we will die from being intoxicated by that gas, or if we turn on a match not knowing it's present and it burning everything up. Sowers of discord, brethren, are that dangerous. Which is why we have to protect our homes from them. We have to be weary of their presence. If someone all of a sudden, every time they are around or near a family, somehow an argument always ensues, or a problem always happens, and they somehow find themselves in the middle of it all the time, that is not someone you want to keep as a friend, even if they are family. That is someone, as 2 Corinthians 6 says, you want to separate yourself and your family from. Because if you allow them to remain, they will destroy your home. They will provoke your home to fall. They will cause it to implode because they won't be the dynamite. They'll just be the lighter that ignites it. But you see, the Bible tells us that those who thrive on doing so, verse 15 of Proverbs 6 warns them, they won't last for long. They won't have success always. In fact, they are not having success. When you go to 2 Peter chapter 3, those who are untaught and twist and wrest scriptures, Peter says that they do so for their own destruction. This sowing of discord, this destruction of godly homes, is also self-destructive. Just because you cannot go in, you do not allow others to go in, and guess what? You're justifying the decision of not allowing you in. When the Pharisees were doing this, they were justifying the reason why God had separated them from His chosen. But notice that the Lord uproots them. Do you recall what John said about them? Do you recall how John the Immerser said that the axe had been laid to the root? He was speaking to the Pharisees when he said those words. He was speaking to the scribes, to the very hypocrites that Matthew 23 refers to. But the question that John asked them is the one that I want us to bring our minds to. Who taught you that you can evade, that you can run away, that you can escape the wrath of God? But then John invites them, as I now seek to do to you. Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. Do you know what that means, friend? That means that if you have been a busybody, that if you have been a meddler, if you have destroyed a couple of homes in your past, God is still willing to forgive you if you are willing to change. There is still an opportunity for you to rescue your soul from the pits of hell. There is still an opportunity for you to have all that poison removed from your tongue and replaced with salt that brings healing and not destruction. Did you know that Paul is an example of this? Before he became a member of the Lord's church, before he was added by the Lord to his body, Paul was going and wrecking spiritual homes. In chapter 9, that was what he was going to do. He was on his way to Damascus to wreck that home. He was on his way to Damascus to destroy that godly home. But when he repented and he changed, when he accepted and put on Christ, he worked twice as hard to rebuild the homes that he had destroyed. His fruits of repentance were his ethic and his devotion to strengthening the church. Please turn with me real briefly to 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to hear this and I want you to think about this. Because sometimes you can fall into that trap, into that snare, thinking that you are not worthy. You can fall into the trap of thinking that you do not deserve. But notice what Scripture says, what the Apostle Paul says there in verse 9. Chapter 15, verse 8. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. Notice, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Paul admits that he was a persecutor. A sower of discord is exactly that. Someone who is persecuting a godly home so that he can destroy it. But Paul says, but when I changed, I worked even harder than when I persecuted. I surpassed Cephas. I surpassed Apollos. I surpassed John. And truth be told, it's hard to deny it, because we have 13, perhaps 14 epistles in the New Testament written by him. There are your fruits of repentance. There is proof that a sower of discord can change the seed he sows with. You just have to choose to pick up the right seed and throw away the wrong seed. Therefore, my friend, aren't you tired of listening to the lies that Satan keeps telling you? Aren't you tired that because Satan was locked out of heaven, he's trying to keep you out as well? Aren't you tired of listening to someone you can never trust, thinking that perhaps you still have more time? Well, this is what God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Behold, today, now is the day of salvation. Now is the approved time. But that sower of discord, who's the father of lies, is telling you, no, you can come back tonight. You still have time. He's going to try to make you be afraid. He's going to try to get you to be scared. No, I don't want you to accept the gospel because you're scared. That's not my purpose. And that would be worthless. I want you to understand why you need to accept the gospel. Because where Satan, wants to destroy, Christ wants to rebuild. And he wants to reconstruct and repair the damaged relationship between you and his Father by forgiving you of your sins. Today, that relationship can be mended. Today, that home can be repaired. Don't you want to be restored? Don't you want to be a sower of the glad tidings? If you are subject to the invitation call this morning, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing that hymn of invitation.